Here's the formula for high hopes. You start with a couple of working-class Londoners, Cyril and Shirley, who don't much like the way England's been heading. Even their house plants are an insult to the government.
What's that?
It's a cactus, isn't it?
Oh. Guess what his name is?
Dunno.
Thatcher.
Because it's a pain in the arse, prongs you every time you walk past it.
Next, you add Cyril's widowed mother, who was about to turn 70 and has been withdrawing from the world. It's hard enough on her that she's becoming forgetful. What's worse is that all her old working-class friends have been pushed out of the neighborhood. Now, when she leaves her keys locked in the house, she has nobody to turn to, except for the sleek young gentrifier next door.
Just a minute.
I'm sorry?
Locked myself out.
Pardon?
Can't get in.
Ah, that's not a very clever thing to have done, is it?
Left my purse on top of the telly. Couldn't get my pills from the chemist.
Yes, but what have you done with your keys?
In my purse.
Ah. Well, aren't there any neighbours you know who could help you out?
Not anymore.
Finally, mix in the daughter, Valerie. Whereas Cyril is a dedicated socialist, which is something you don't get to see every day in American films, Valerie is a social climber who lives in the suburbs in a house that Liberace himself would have called overdecorated. She stays on the edge of hysteria all the way through the film and finally tips over near the end when she throws a 70th birthday party for her unenthusiastic mother.
Mum, pick up your glass. Pick it up!
Don't talk to her like that.
Cheryl, this is a family occasion, all right? I would like to propose a toast to Mum's birthday because it could be our last.
So, those are the basic elements. A mother who is starting to need full-time help, a daughter who can't even help herself, and a couple in their mid-30s who are risking a breakup. You see, Shirley still has enough optimism left to want a baby. But Cyril may have become too embittered for that. Well, that's a formula too. But the wonderful thing about High Hopes is the way these various elements don't add up. Instead of a formula film, you get something that's unpredictable and changeable and alive, like a Chekhov play with disappointed workers in place of the usual lot of downwardly mobile aristocrats. How did High Hopes come to have such a sense of unforced comic realism? A lot of the credit goes to the way the director, Mike Lee, collaborated with the actors. First, he invented a set of characters. Then he assigned the roles and had the actors build them up through improvisation. The script came last. Lee didn't write it until he'd actually seen the characters come to life. You don't often see this approach in the movies. It's a lot more common in theater, the medium Lee comes from. And then if you do want to shoot films like this, it's a lot easier to make short ones, which is what Lee mostly has been doing in recent years, working for British television. High Hopes is only his second feature film. The first was made in the early 1970s. I'd say it's been worth the wait. Congratulations to him and to the actors who helped create High Hopes. Philip Davis as Cyril, Ruth Sheen as Shirley, Edna Doré as the mother, and the amazing Heather Tobias as Valerie.